So I'm going to try it a little different today. I'm going to use a handheld mic. We'll see how this works. Like I said, I like to speak with my hands free, so I may go in and out. I don't know. We'll see. It's funny. I always prepare a sermon, and from where I start to where I end up, when I start preparing the sermon, is always different. The verses that I began with when I began doing my preparations for this, they're not even in here anymore. I deleted them yesterday. I just took them out because God has led me on a different direction. And it kind of started with Pastor Jim about a month ago when he challenged us to take that next step with God and our relationship with God. And what does that mean for us to take that next step? What is it that he's talking about? You know, and I thought about it myself. I thought about, well, how does that apply to me? And then I got on this term, this thing. We heard it this morning. I've heard it several times this morning. This calling. Pastor Henry talked about the calling on Lloyd's life when he prayed this morning. And I've had people ask me, so, Randy, have you been called to be a minister? Well, have I? It got me to thinking. Well, what does the Bible say about calling? And when you start talking about giftings and callings and ministry, people, especially if you're young in your relationship with God, can really get in turmoil about those terms. Because I remember back when I first became a Christian, and then I started hearing these terms about giftings and callings, I wanted to know what my calling was. So have I been called? What is my calling? What are my gifts? Has God gifted me in a way that I'm supposed to use to further his word? You can let yourself really get wrapped up in it and cause a lot of turmoil within yourself if you do that. So I was going to talk about giftings and callings, but there's not nearly enough time today to talk about both. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to talk a little bit about what being called or calling, what God says about it in his word. And I hope that by the time I'm done today, if any of you are having any angst in your life about these terms, callings or giftings or anything, that you'll feel a little bit more at ease. I think sometimes we can put too much emphasis on callings. I know that I did, so maybe I'm just speaking to me. You guys are looking at me like, what is he talking about? So let's take a look at it. Called or calling. It's to make a request or demand. Now, this is what my Bible says about called or calling, just those terms. To make a request or demand. To designate or name a divine summons. And see, and that's what I always think about when I think of callings or being called to something. I think of a divine summons. That's where my basis is always looked at. So when Pastor Henry says that Lloyd has been called, Lloyd's had a divine summons from God. That's the way I look at it. It also means an occupation or vocation. Your calling could be a taxidermy or a taxidermist. An occupation or vocation. That's what it says. Your calling. Your gifting, your calling, whatever. So how do you know when you've been called to a specific ministry by God? How do you know that? Are we called to be preachers? Was I called to be a preacher? Are we called to be teachers, leaders, helpers, servants, evangelists, missionaries? Does God call us to those things? Romans 1:1 says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. See, there's not very many places in the Bible where it says that, where somebody says they were called to something, but Paul does. He says, I was called to be an apostle, to be set apart for the gospel of God. The Greek word used here is called kletos. And believe it or not, it's an adjective. It's a root word for called. And it's, the short definition is called or summoned. The definition is called, invited, summoned by God to an office or to salvation. To an office or to salvation. An apostle is defined as a messenger or sent one and is generally but not exclusively referring to the 12 original disciples of Christ and Paul. Now, Paul says he was called. How does Paul know he was called? How do we know he was called? Paul says he was. Well, let's take a look at Acts 9, 1 through 19. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. Now see, Saul was a religious man. He says right there, who are you, Lord? Saul asked. He knew who he was surrounded by. The Most High. And what Saul was doing was persecuting the Jews. And he felt he had every right, or not the Jews, but the disciples of Christ and those who follow Christ. And he felt like he had every right because he was defending the Jewish faith. These deceivers had come in. Christ was a deceiver and were trying to destroy the Jewish faith. And Saul was going to do everything he could as a religious leader to make sure this didn't happen. So when these lights flashed around him and he heard a voice, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? His first words were, who are you, Lord? He knew. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. Ananias knew immediately who had called him. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. So do you think Saul was called by God? I don't think there was any doubt that Saul was called by God to be one of the disciples and apostles that would spread the word of Christ Jesus. There's no doubt there. I haven't had that experience in making my decision to become a preacher. God did not approach me that way. It doesn't mean that we're not called. It doesn't mean that I wasn't called. Most of us will not experience that type of calling on our lives. Again, it doesn't mean we aren't called, not to a specific ministry, but probably not in the same way that Saul was. Now, I believe there's a lot of men, a lot of women, a lot of leaders, a lot of teachers, a lot of preachers that have some amazing experiences and callings on their life. Pastor Lee knew from a very early age that God had called him to be a minister. He was called to be a minister. So what about the rest of us? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, and you guys have all heard this before, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The Hebrew word here for called is kara. And it's a verb, it's an action word, and it means simply to call or proclaim. My people who are called by my name, my people who proclaim my name, those of us who have accepted God as the one and only true God, we are called to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek his face, and to turn from our wicked ways. That is our first true calling on our lives from God. To humble ourselves. And I know Pastor Jim has talked many times on humbling yourself. You need to take this to heart. This is a calling on your life. To pray. To seek his face and to turn from your wicked ways. Ephesians 1, 18 through 20. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. That you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. He calls us to salvation. And then he calls us to the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. And then Ephesians 4, 1 through 13. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Now, we're hearing the same thing in the New Testament that we heard in the Old Testament. It's not a coincidence. There's a reason for that. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. See, Pastor Jim's been preaching that for as long as he's been up here. We got the four pillars of the church. But he's also calling us, teaching us to love one another. Christ said, the greatest of all these is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul. And then the second greatest was to love your neighbor as yourself. He has called us to do that. Not just pastors and teachers and servants and missionaries. He has called each and every one of us to that. So think about it right now. I want you to put this in your mind. I have a calling on my life. I have been called by God. Lloyd's been called. Roy, you've been called. We've all been called to humble ourselves, to pray, and to seek his face, and to turn from our wicked ways. When you leave here today, remember that. That's what you've been called to do. And then you've been commanded to love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And then love one another. That's what your calling is. I'm going to go ahead and have the praise team come on up here. So what I would tell you is, if you're worried about, if you've thought about what your giftings are, if you've thought about what God has called you to do, if there's a particular ministry, you're worried, did he call me to do this? Am I called to be a missionary? Quit worrying about that. Do these things, these four things that he called us to do. And I promise you, everything else will fall into line. I've had in my mind, Randy's mind, that I'm going to be a minister since probably the mid-90s. I've thought that. And I've been waiting for the calling, not knowing what that calling was going to look like or when it was going to happen, but I've been patiently waiting. I didn't have the same calling, the same experience of calling that Paul did. Thank the Lord that did not happen. I've had some experiences with my dad when I was younger that was similar to that, but that's another story. I'll tell that one later. That's just coming home late at night, way past curfew when you... Anyway, long story. So think about that when you leave here today. God has put a calling on your life. You guys, we are called by his name. And because we are called by his name and we have declared that God is the only one true God, then we have a responsibility to fulfill that calling. and Christ as our Savior, we've been called to salvation through Him. Don't forget that. Don't take it lightly. But take that next step. Whatever that next step is, I'm like Jim. I challenge you to take it. I don't know what it looks like. You may not even have any idea what it looks like right now. But if you humble yourself, you pray, and you seek Him, He's going to show you what that next step is. I liked what that said. I will never be the same. Love has called my name. We shouldn't be the same. Love has called our name. God has called us. We can't be the same. Wait, my phone's ringing. God has called us. We cannot be the same if we answered that call. Now, if we didn't answer the call, then I guess you're the same old person you used to be. I guess you're still just part of the world. I'm not sure what you're doing here today if you didn't answer that call. You have to change your life. You have to be different if you answered that call, if you listened to it, if you accepted God, accepted Jesus. Your life is different. I will never be the same. Love has called my name. I'm going to finish with a quote from Mother Teresa. She said that not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. We can all do small things with great love. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, God, that we accept your calling, Heavenly Father, that we trust in you, Lord, and that because love has called our name, Father, that we can love others the way that you've asked us to do, the way that you've commanded us to do, Father. I pray that we would not look at others unless we look at them through your eyes, Father. That we wouldn't judge. We wouldn't look with disdain. But that we would look with compassion and mercy at all those we come in contact with, Lord. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that as we leave here today, that we remember that you have called us and that we are to be humble and that we are to pray and that we are to seek your face. Thank you, Father, for everything. Bless this coming week. We pray these things in your Son's precious name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.